Welcome to the Prickly Couch podcast, where three mujeres have real conversations. We'll share our stories and talk about wellness, familias, work, and everything in between in our experiences as Latina women. All right. Welcome to another episode of the Prickly Couch. This time we have almost our whole team. We talk about prickly pear a lot on the podcast, of course, and we wanted to introduce everybody in the space so you get to know them a little bit better and, you know, what we do at Prickly, but also what does affirmative care mean? What does that actually look like? So if this is your first time looking for therapy, or maybe you're trying to find something that really is meeting your needs and you don't know what that might look like, we're going to have a conversation about all things culturally relevant and affirmative. So welcome, y'all. We have Hannah, Janet, and Sonia today, and I will let you all introduce yourselves as human beings, but this is our core team of therapists, and they're awesome, and they're experts on Latinx mental health. And each of you have, I think, a pretty different approach as therapists, and I'll let you talk a little bit more about your own approaches as, you know, you talk more about yourself, but I think there's a little bit of somatic approaches, what we call bottom-up approaches, where we're really focusing on regulating our nervous system, providing affirmative care for neurodiverse folks, and how neurodiversity intersects with trauma, and how it can show up in the room, adolescent and young adult mental health, and how that experience might be a little bit different than some of our older adults, middle-aged adults. So we'll talk a little bit about each of y'all's experience as we go through this. So who wants to introduce themselves first? You can tell us about who you are as a therapist and just more generally who you are as a person, as a human. If you don't pick, I'll pick. The team money.
Okay, I can go first. So my name is Hannah. And as a human, I was born in McAllen, Texas. So I am from the Valley, the 956. And I very much am passionate about therapy. And I'm also passionate about music. And I'm very passionate about what I like to call my spirituality and my whole journey with that. And I am a first generation Mexican American. I come from a family that entirely came from Mexico all those years ago. And I really love having that be part of my identity and also having that be an intersection where I kind of have both identities. Like I'm from both places, and that really informs who I am as a human. I currently live in Jersey City. I'm in New Jersey, which is a recent but really beautiful chapter that I've started in my life. And I moved here with my partner, who I've been with a long time. And so that's kind of where I'm at as a human being, and obviously working at Prickly Pear with these amazing colleagues. That's a little bit about me.
Thank you, Hannah. Who wants to go next, Janet or Sonia?
I can go next. I keep on thinking of doing the theme, Marina.
Well, I think that the thing that people don't know that are listening is that we're all therapists and can hold silence in space for a very long time. So what you're not seeing is that we're staring at each other to see who breaks down first.
Dale, Sonia. Okay, my name is Sonia Torres, and I'm a therapist at Prickly Pear. So my family and I, we are immigrants from Mexico. I was born in a very small town in Mexico. And in the early 90s, we moved to the US. So I was very little. And I guess outside of my work, some things that I'm really passionate about, I do like a lot of personal development, which kind of fits into why I do what I do. But I also enjoy just like learning new things. I love like picking up like new hobbies, like learning how to play the guitar right now. Well, I did that a few years ago. It like took classes, and then I also took classes to like learn how to play the piano, which was incredibly hard and super difficult. That didn't last very long. But I also, right now I'm learning Arabic. And so I've been doing that for like about a year. I can say very short phrases. And so I've been doing that. And I love dancing, like any type of dance, like I love doing, especially Latin dances like bachata, cumbia, salsa, merengue, like all of that, but also like Afro beats, like hip hop, reggaeton, like all of that. I just really value like body movement, and dance is a way to do that that just makes me like incredibly happy. So yeah, it's a little bit about me.
Gracias, Sonia. I don't think I knew that about you. I knew that you like dancing, but I don't think I knew that you were like had this musical inclinations. And I'm like, oh, that was a missed opportunity during our retreat. We could have, you know, get that guitar that was there and like do something.
I know, no, qué vergüenza.
Sonia did do some great karaoke though.
Yes. Oh yes.
With or without a guitar, she can do it.
Yes, we definitely had fun in that retreat. We did a lot of dancing, healing, but also I think karaokeing and just being goofy. Mm-hmm. Janet, last but not least.
Yeah, so if you heard our last episode, you might already have heard some of this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm Janet. I'm also a clinician or a clinical therapist here at Prickly Pear. I'm originally from Monterrey, Mexico, even though my family also immigrated here in the 90s. So I've been a Tejana for a very long time. For me, some of the things I enjoy are reading, movies. I like to cross stitch a lot. I'm really like a tried and true introvert for sure. But yeah, I'm loving hearing about all these creative sides to my colleagues too. And, you know, I don't know that you guys know this about me, but I have a bachelor's in radio, television, film. So that's been like an interesting
thing. Mírala.
That I might have.
Oh. I love that.
Did not know that.
Cool. Okay. So yeah, that's why when I say I enjoy movies, really been a movie buff for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But as a therapist, I also really enjoy working with my community, with other Latina folk. I work a lot with trauma, also using somatic or body-centered perspectives. And also using a little bit of radical openness and just helping people be open and willing to change.
I love that. And I'm thinking about, and thank you for sharing that. I like having y'all in this space because as I share with each of y'all individually, it can be a little bit different to show up in the space. And so there might be some nervousness or there might be some hesitation, right, to being here. So we get to know each other in a different light. And I really enjoy that. And I'm grateful that y'all are here. So we talk a lot about, you know, affirmative care and what Prickly is. And I'm starting to realize through our conversation, which is a common conversation within our team, but I don't think we have had conversations about this in a podcast. And we're missing Josie and Karen today in this recording. You've heard a lot from the three of us before. So I want to hear what your perspective is. We have created, I think, a pretty unique, there's a couple of things that are very unique about our team, right? And one of it is that all of the people in our team are women of color, are Latinas, or have like different intersecting identities. And we all bring, I think, differences within our own Latina-ness, right? I think that our team is very varied in that way and can reflect a little bit of how diverse our community can be. And so what do you think is, what do you think of that, I guess? Like, what do you make of having a team that is all made of Latinas? I think all of us come from different backgrounds, right? Like agencies, schools, research, all kinds of paths of life. And sometimes this is the first space where we can be with other Latinas. How has that been for y'all?
I mean, I love it. I genuinely love and find so much gratitude in being here and collaborating with everybody, both as a team and also like when we have individual one-on-ones or like when we're doing case consultation. I think that we do have a very unique perspective as a collective, and it's because of all of our unique perspectives as individuals. And so it's something that I recognize how precious it is, and I extend gratitude for it because I'm like, this is a very special space. I've never heard of anything like it. And I think that the kinds of ways that we are experimenting with how powerful therapy can be, especially within our communities, is just something that really continues to inspire me, even on personal levels, where it's like I get inspired by clients and by my colleagues to continue my healing journey and to continue like my own pursuit for therapy. And like through my learnings in Prickly Pear, I really understood the value of having like a Latina therapist, and it's honestly changed the game entirely. So I love it, and I'm very grateful that it exists.
I agree. I think, yeah, this is the first time that I've been in a, well, one, the first time that I've done private practice. And so it was really cool to find a practice with other Latina women. Yeah, the experience has been nice because I feel like I've been able to just be more genuine with like how I present in a work setting. And so that's been really different. I feel, yeah, like if my body also just feels more comfortable even going, like being in a meeting like this, right? Yeah, so I feel like I could just show up and be more like authentic, I guess, just and relaxed, which is very different from where I've been in the past in regards to a work setting.
Yeah, for me, this is also my first experience in private practice, and definitely my first experience with a space where we're all Latinas. And that for me has also been a game changer. It's been very comforting.
The reason why I'm asking that question is I think that, you know, as we're talking about affirmative spaces, one of the things that we try to really create here is that we're doing that through our organization, right? So it's not only lip service that we do trauma-informed care and that, you know, we show up authentically and all these words that I think have been commodified in pop culture, right? And we talk about it all the time, but, or we hear all the time, but in a way that is authentic, that we as clinicians feel safe and comfortable in our own skins to show up authentically with our clients and be able to provide that containment or that experience for them. So it's interesting to hear how it's mirroring, right? Like I hope the experience that our clients are having, and I'm excited to hear that a lot of us, this is the first time that we've been in spaces where, you know, where there's other Latinas, where we can speak Spanish and English and Spanglish, and show up like with all the, you know, highs and lows of our identity and work on things. And I also appreciate that we are part of a team that will call us in lovingly and kindly sometimes, and provide a ton of support as we're going through our own journey of undoing, unlearning, right? Like all these different things that are very ingrained in our community. So I've thrown this word of affirmative care, and I think that as providers, we know what that means, but as clients, I don't know that people know what that means, or like if that means anything to them. What does that mean for y'all in this space?
And I think to, I guess just in putting it in simple terms, I guess, yeah. It's like valuing and like honoring like the person that you're working with, right? Like our clients. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's like the simplest way I guess I can say it that I guess that makes sense to me. It's like mm-hmm. you're honoring and you value like the person, you're the client and their identity, their experience, their story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that sums it up beautifully, Sonia.
Yes.
I think a lot of it is really affirming our clients' resilience, right? And the value that their culture or their identities bring to who they are as people. I love that we do that for each other in our spaces. I love that we can do that for our clients. Where these things that in our society aren't as valued can be seen as strengths rather than weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that because I think that a lot of our systems are so focused on the brokenness, whatever mm-hmm. that means, the weaknesses, the fostering of resilience, which I've come to really dislike that word, right? Because it means, I don't think it means what we think it means all the time. And sometimes is, I think, glorifying the struggles that we've been through and the trauma that we've been through. So I really like that, Jen. I like that. Focus on strengths, focus on the things that culturally are protective factors, focusing on those things, as Anna, you said, like that make up our clients' whole identity, whole story, rather than this one piece of things that are not going well. Because I think that a lot of the times we're going to see people in the worst moment, right? In the most stressed moment, in their most vulnerable moments, and holding hope for them and holding not hope for them in this like patronizing way, but like knowing that there's more than the struggle, right? Knowing that there's more than this moment. Mm-hmm. It's so, so, so important, especially when we are, you know, focusing on some of the most difficult moments that people are going through that are related to a trauma. So with that said, is there anything that you think clients can expect from working with Prickly or with you specifically, something that you enjoy or that you've learned you enjoy in this journey? Of working with clients here?
Yeah, I mean, when people come to Prickly Pear and like we go through our process of meeting with them and offering them a consultation, I think it's even from the way that we respond to inquiries is very different, at least from what I've seen other private practices do or other practices in general do. So even from like the process of, oh, it's really scary, I'm going to look for a therapist, because it is scary. Like as a client, I can completely validate that experience is like, oh my God, is this human going to like judge me? Or are they going to like, you know, all the normal things that go through one's head. And so I think the experience at Prickly Pear is, it's just so intentional and it's so humanized that clients, at least from the feedback that I've received, it's very refreshing. And it's very like, wow, I didn't know that therapy could be like this. And I'll even say for myself, like finding a therapist who is Latina, I was like, yeah, I didn't know therapy could be like this. Like, I didn't know that I could be understood with this depth. I didn't know that I could express one phrase or like say one thing and be met with compassionate eyes that understand. And so for me to be able to do that for my own clients is, I think, really powerful. And I can recognize in those moments when they're like really scared to show some aspects of themselves for, you know, their own fears. And I do my best to honor that moment. And I do my best to like lead them with gentleness and kind of this affirmative care that we keep talking about. Like, I think coming to Prickly Pear is being able to be seen probably for the first time ever. And to not only be seen, but to be validated in all of your hardships and all of your vulnerable moments, but also be validated for all of your accomplishments and all of your strengths, just as Jeanette was saying. So I think it's still, you know, therapy. It's still uncomfortable. It's still difficult, but there's just so much more that we're able to bring to the table and allow our clients to fully experience therapy. I think the way it's meant to be experienced, not the way that it's been streamlined.
Wow. That's so, so powerful, Hannah. I don't get emotional easy. Y'all know that. Well, the people that know me know this, but that made me feel emotional because I think that's what we wanted to create when we created this space. And I'm so excited that we created this collectively. This mm-hmm. is not something that, you know, is one or two people. It's really our team that has created the space. And I'm very, very grateful that is transforming into this space. So mm-hmm. I think that clients being able, not only clients, but I think people, anybody that walks through our door that can show up authentically and to have a deep level of understanding is powerful. It's really everything.
Yeah. I also love that we're doing this, like these podcasts, because mm-hmm. then people can hear, like, you know, it's mm-hmm. we're human, right? Yeah. We happen to be therapists, right. But yeah, like that we also share that human experience too. And I think mm-hmm. Like just the approach I think that we have, right? It's like you're talking to like another human that mm-hmm. like it doesn't have to feel so formal and scary because you're going into therapy. I always like to ask, I'm like, hey, have you had a consultation before? Have you ever been in mm-hmm. therapy? And kind of just like normalize that, maybe the anxiety that people might be feeling, because mm-hmm. it can be scary to enter this space. And so I like having that conversation with people. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you're like, oh, I feel nervous. I'm like, it's all right. That's expected. Right.
Right.
So I think that also just helps people just kind of calm down. And mm-hmm.
that's real right there. Cause I think that a lot of the time, especially in our communities, right? Like we don't talk about our business, right? Los trapitos sucios se lavan en casa. And sometimes we think that our own mental health and our own experiences are trapitos sucios, or skeletons in our closet, when they're really not, yeah. right? But we're not used to that. And if we've never stepped into a space like this, can feel heavy and vulnerable and scary and be like, well, if I tell her this, is she gonna judge me? If I, mm-hmm. you know, share this intimate experience I have or intimate thoughts, am I gonna be judged? Or in some way, you know, this is gonna turn into chisme. Yeah. I think that having conversations very early on with folks about what their experiences have been, and sometimes is they've never been in a space like this before, or unfortunately they've had negative experiences or unhelpful experiences, and talking about, you know, what expectations they should have and what the space is going to be. Because people that are listening are, a lot of folks that listen are providers or folks that are on their way to becoming therapists or very early on in their careers. I wanted to pose this question of what advice do you have for them in looking to maybe start their private practice or maybe starting to see clients in this different environment? Because it is very different than some of the backgrounds that we all have, right? What would you say would you recommend for them looking in a workspace, knowing what you know now, and having traveled the roads that you have?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, as we talked about earlier, finding and looking for an affirming space where you can bring your whole self, your whole identity. I know for me, this experience with Prickly Pear has just contributed so greatly to my growth, both personally and professionally. And I think, yeah, being able to show up authentically kind of lays the foundation for being able to do your best work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's like two things that are coming up for me, because obviously in grad school, you go through what you go through and it's not always pleasant. And I don't know that I would be able to appreciate Prickly Pear for what it is if I hadn't gone through that. So I think the biggest thing I would say to people still in grad school or folks that are like just starting out is like, learn to recognize your own intuition, because it really will lead you into spaces that you're meant to be in, even if the imposter syndrome does come up a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you're really meant to be in that space, you're going to find the people you need to in order to kind of work through that imposter syndrome. Not that it ever disappears, but it gets a little bit easier if you have other people being like, oh yeah, me too. Like, I'm also like stressed out about this, or I'm also like freaking out or spiraling about this. So maybe all that to say, like, find people you can trust, but make sure that the main person you can trust is yourself, and knowing that you can handle whatever comes your way. And if something's calling to you that you need to like create something, whether that's your own private practice or like having your own thing, then I would listen to that, because that's probably a space that more people are needing than you might recognize in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, what's popping up is like just like collaborating with other therapists, like talking to other other clinicians. Even like if you're in school, like talking to people that are already doing the work, for example, mm-hmm. whether it be like a professor that's in private practice, if that's what you want to do, someone with that experience. I decided to join Prickly Pear. Yeah, I was also opening my own private practice, but I'm like, I don't want to be 100% alone. Like, I want to be a part of another practice where I can do like consultations and just collaborate, also just learn. So I think that's a huge one.
Yeah, and I think go ahead, Jenna. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I was going to say, I mean, I think that highlights a lot too, that this is heavy work and it can feel very isolated. Like, therapists hold a lot. So having that community, having like a shoulder to cry on or somebody to go to happy hour with, is so important.
Yeah. I agree. And I think that, you know, as we're talking about this space and being able to show up authentically is also building a collective, right? That is, as I was saying, it's not just one of us or two, it's the group that we have. And we have pretty open conversations about the different things that we want to do. I think we are all a little bit hyperactive in that sense, is that we want to do and try a lot of new things and we want to learn all the time. So how do we connect on those projects? How do we build that within the collective? And sometimes that might be right within our group or outside or kind of parallel to it. And so we have, you know, our clinical team, but we also have other members that have their own private practice or their own projects and that are still part of our collective. And we collaborate pretty, you know, not only frequent, but like pretty intensely with one another. And so that is also, I think, helpful, that it doesn't feel like you have to hide those desires and things. I think we've created a supportive space to talk about all of those and have pretty honest conversations when that's going to work out or when it's not, or when, maybe it's not the right time, or when it is the right time, but there's other things happening, or just limitations within our own time and all that stuff. And that feels like it's helped transform our careers, and also not only enhance our professional development, right? But I think the practice in showing up and not feeling like things are tedious from day to day, because it's the same and the same. It can always change. We just need to have conversations and figure it out. So I think there's always that openness to like, well, we'll figure it out. If it's new, if it's chaotic, if it's something we haven't tried before. We say this within our team all the time. This is a living and breathing collective, and things change. That we know for sure. And folks in our team have been very adaptable and flexible to a lot of the challenges that come with that growth. So again, very grateful that we're together in this space. So to close, is there anything that you haven't shared yet that you would like to share about your experience in general as a human at Prickly or as a clinician? I'm really looking forward to recording this in video. Yes, to your faces as we ponder these answers. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for that. We have some great TikTok cuts.
I know. Then when you said that, I looked at my face and I think I was like making
I know
a weird thing with my mouth. No, yeah. I guess something popped up in my head. But I don't want to like. Okay, well, let me just say it. So I guess so getting into like this profession, what I learned was super important, which should be a requirement. I don't think it's a requirement in all programs, but like doing your own work, like being the client, like getting that therapy is super, super important, has been very important in my life. But not only like as a person, but also like as a clinician. And so I guess I'm speaking to like young clinicians that are in school right now, that encouraging them to do this type of work. You'll learn so much about yourself, but I think it also makes you a better clinician too. I think it should be a requirement also for every single program. Unfortunately, it's not, but yeah.
Well, it should also be accessible.
It's very true. Yes.
Mm-hmm. True that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that I think as a team, we have a lot of conversations about the pain of our existence. And you know, we're talking a lot about how hard the work is, and I wanted to throw this clarification because I've seen it come up on others like social media spaces. But when we talk about the work being hard, I think a lot of what we're talking about is the mm-hmm. system that we're working in, not our individual clients and what they're sharing in the room. I think it's the systems that we're working, the systems that our clients exist in, mm-hmm. And that we exist in as people.
Yeah.
That is fucking hard, especially in the past few years where the world has been a garbage can on fire, while knives are falling from the sky. Like, it's really been a mess. So, coexisting in that space can be hard. So doing your work personally and having that extra support if you're not in a group practice, especially, I think, or if you're starting as a clinician, I think having your own space to process things, other people's experiences, especially when you are serving our community and people sound like you and they have similar stories than you, we carry those differently. I say that all the time. And so we need to also have that support in processing our own stories and how that shows up in the room. But I think it also helps to be on the other side and to know how uncomfortable it can be to be on that other side and when you're asking your clients to do certain things, you know what that feels like. And you're doing that. But also I think as clinicians, as a Latina women, doing your own work around undoing, unlearning, and decentering some of the experiences that we've learned is going to be so, so integral, because we're still representing a system, and we're still representing our community and the biases and the good and the richness that comes with that, but also the painful intergenerational trauma, internalized oppression and racism and colorism and all the isms that come with being Latinas. Mm-hmm. Any other final thoughts or reflections?
I mean, this just made me think of what had come up for me originally, and it just kind of like affirmed it more, where it's like, I think there is a narrative shifting, but there's obviously more work to shift this narrative that like therapists are first and foremost humans. And when we are working with clients, we're also doing a lot on our own, like not just like our own professional work if like we're in our own therapy, but like we're doing a lot to make sure that the space is as safe as it needs to be for our clients. And at the end of the day, we're still humans. And it's like you said, Gabby, like we carry those stories with us, or like they might impact us differently on different days. And so kind of normalizing that we are human beings who just happen to be in this profession and happen to be therapists, and we're not necessarily striving for perfection. We're just doing our best to make sure there's progress.
Mm-hmm. With that said, I think take the PTO, take the time off, take the day off if you need to, rest, restore, because this is not about making it through tomorrow or the next day. This is about sustainable long-term work when we're working with our community to undo a lot of the impact of systemic racism that is ongoing. So we also have to rest. And if you're working agency, take the PTO. You already work those hours. I tell my clients all the time, just fucking take the PTO. Mm-hmm. You already paid for that. Let's do it. All right, y'all. Well, thank you for being here. This episode is going to come out in a couple weeks. And I'm excited for people to get to know our team a little bit more intimately. If you have any questions or any topics that you'd like us to cover, feel free to post them in our social media. You can find us on Instagram, on Facebook, and wherever you listen to your podcast. Have a great week. You can stop recording now.